y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode, number 477, it is week two of our summer of mentorship. This summer, we are going back in the archives. We are finding episodes that answer your questions. And I got so many questions about adult friendships that I thought, let's republish this conversation I had, episode 321, with licensed professional counselor Shandria Riddick. It's a great conversation, even though it happened in the midst of COVID. So much great advice on healthy ways to work through reconciliation, how to know when to walk away from a hurtful friendship, how to set healthy boundaries, how to have clarifying conversations, and even how to analyze the health of a relationship. So much more. This is such a good conversation. I wanted to bring it to your attention. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Well, as a mom, as a counselor, you know relationships are complicated.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Very complicated.
And I shared with you that, you know, I didn't think I would get this reaction when I went on Instagram, but it was, I'd seen somebody else's posts about not focusing on the ones who leave, but focusing on the people in our lives who show up. And I asked, have you experienced a broken friendship this year? And two-thirds of 1,500 people that responded said yes.
Wow. Wow.
That's a lot.
Wow. That's a lot. Just over the year, the past?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm sure with each one of those responses, there's a unique story. And I'd like to start with, I feel like God's heart is reconciliation. And that's what we desire. And I told you that I did an episode back at the end of the year on making amends.
Right.
Talk to us about, you know, if someone comes into your office and there's some sort of conflict, what advice or what guidance do you give them on that reconciliation process?
Well, first, I think that, you know, many of us have friendships for different reasons and different seasons. So when people come into my office and ask, hey, I have this friendship and man, I don't know what to do with it. We were not speaking. I first just ask the health of that relationship. How did you benefit from that relationship? Does that relationship have reciprocity? Did you feel supported in that relationship? Or did you feel isolated in that relationship? Did they offer space for you to be yourself? Were you able to set boundaries in that relationship? We usually test the health of the relationship first, because sometimes relationships that end, it's okay. And sometimes people can go separate ways and it's fine. You don't have to carry the burden of that relationship. So the first thing I do really is test the health of that relationship.
I love all those questions. I kind of want all those written down. Oh my stars. That is so good. Is there some sort of, not algorithm, that sounds too scientific, but when we're considering the health of relationship, I think the Christian messaging we get is that it's not about me. I should be all the shoulds. How should, quote unquote, we protect, and like what percentage of our friendship should be in a healthy place versus an unhealthy place? Like, are there quote unquote ministry friendships, ones that are more life taking than life giving?
Well, you know, we hear that joy, Jesus first, others second, and yourself last.
Right,
hear that.
Right, right.
So often, growing up in church, I heard that so much. But I think that we can enter friendships when yourself being last is the theme, where your feelings aren't considered, where you can't go and get support in that relationship, or you are often insulted or looked over in that relationship. So there are maybe, even if it's a ministry relationship where you're not acknowledged, where you're not thought about in certain decision making, even in those situations, if you feel as though you're unable to be present in that relationship, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we work through and look through our friendships and assess them yourself less. Yes, you take care of people, you make sure that they're loved while you're in that relationship. But if you don't have footing in there and you can't set a boundary where I didn't answer the call because I was busy with the kids and that friend is upset because you weren't there at that particular time. If they can't honor what you have going on in your life, that's not a very healthy relationship.
And we're not talking about one off, like you said. Is this like a theme?
No. This is a theme.
Yeah.
This is a constant. This is how you have to walk on eggshells during the relationship because you feel kind of off centered. You really don't know what the reaction is going to be.
Or like a mismatch of expectations.
Mismatch, just exactly, of expectations.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the expectation is we talk every day. Your expectation is I don't even talk to my mom once a week. So I'm speaking for myself. So, okay. So you sit down with them and you say, what is the health? And you analyze all those things. And I really do want them all written down because that was such a great list. And then what?
And then once we figure out if it's a healthy relationship, we do discuss ways that you can sit down with that friend and discuss maybe some differences, maybe some preferences that you have that maybe that were different than the other person. And we just kind of make sure that you both set boundaries in that relationship. How do you set boundaries in a healthy relationship? You can say, you know, I don't like anyone shouting. Or if we're arguing, if we have a conflict, you know, we don't have to go straight to anger. I would like to talk. You know, I'm not a person that yells if that person's a yeller, or, you know, maybe I need a couple of days if I'm sick, or, you know, things like that. Do you have boundaries about in your life? When all of my kids are home and we're all sitting around dinner table, I don't answer my phone. So after a certain time, you know, so you sit down and really talk with your friends about what's going on with them and what are the hard parts in their lives and what places they would like you to honor in their lives and places you would like them to honor in your life.
That's good. I'll share too a phrase that I learned through my little life team is asking or sharing, this is how I'm experiencing you. Can you share with me how you're experiencing me?
Exactly.
And just getting aligned on, because there might be like you're frustrated in the relationship, but you don't recognize that the reason they're acting that way is that they're misinterpreting your actions or your love for them or your feelings about them. And it's like you're both in kind of a fight or flight defense mode and you didn't know why.
Exactly. That's so good. So good. You know, I ask that question to couples as well as friends. What is it like to be in friendship with you? Or what is it like to be in relationship with you? You know how to be you. You don't know the experience of you. So it's always really great to ask the other person, like you said, you know, how do you experience me in this space? So yeah, it's really important to ask that question. And many times you're often surprised by the answers. You know, I think of myself as a great mom and, you know, ask my kids, they may say something different, but I remember talking to my daughter about, you know, grades. And she's in college right now. And she said, well, mom, I know you just expect me to make all A's. I've never said that.
Right.
That never came out of my mouth. So, you know, we had to really talk about her experiences, you know, when we're having conversation, what she's hearing and what her experience is when she, you know, as she walks away from certain statements I make. So it's always really important to ask that question to friends as well.
Okay. We finally hit the time of summer where Dallas chills out a bit. And I don't mean temperature wise, it's blazing hot. But what I do mean is a lot of people leave and just everything drops down a notch in pressure. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I love that I am down to two makeup products, the Thrive Cosmetics Lash Extension Mascara, which I've told you about so many times, and their new Empower Matte Precision Lipstick Crayon. Okay, Thrive Cosmetics, I've told you, big fan because I don't have to skimp on quality while also wanting to keep up with my standards of clean makeup. With Thrive Cosmetics, I know all their products are certified 100% vegan, cruelty-free, zero parabens, sulfates, phthalates. Also, This is just a bonus. Thrive Cosmetics donates to 8 major causes, including those impacted by cancer, domestic abuse, veteran educational organizations. It's a win across the board. So let me tell you about these products. With the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara, what's so great in the summer is it creates tubes around your lashes. No clumping, like, you know, when you're squinting in the sun, it's not clumping or smudging down on like your lower lid, and it's easy to come off. You just use warm water and it just like slides off your eyelashes. It also helps keep them like looking healthy because it supports them with the nourishing ingredients, so they get longer and it looks like I have extensions without the pain of extensions during the summer. Now, their new Empower Matte Precision Lipstick Crayon comes in 12 different shades. And what I love on the website, you can see those shades on different skin tones. You can see which one might look best on you. I've had my colors done, so I am loving the red-orange color. It's a 2-in-1 lipstick liner, so I can line my lips, I can fill them in, I can let it set, and I get 12 hours of wear where it's got this rich, opaque pigmentation. It is giving me a bold, non-sticky, velvety finish that lasts whatever I'm doing during the day. It's awesome. So refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/DMA. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/DMA for 10% off your first order. So we're analyzing the health of the relationship. We're scheduling a time, which that is honestly, y'all, that's a really brave move. Okay. It's much easier to avoid the conflict and just walk away in some situations. So it is very brave to go towards the person and set up that time and say, hey, I'd love to just align with you on some things regarding our relationship. And let's say we sit down there, we are in a calm place. And I think your motivator has to be love.
Yes.
I think trying to restore a relationship that, and you don't love the person and you don't really desire for that relationship to continue, that reconciliation is not going to go well.
Exactly.
They'll be able to sense that. But let's say you go in there, you love the person and it's a no-go. There's too much pain that the other person has experienced, or there's too much of a mismatch and expectations and no give. Where do we go from there?
Well, you have to have the courage to let it go. And it doesn't have to be, it really doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be just a decision that, okay, it's time to let that friendship go. If you feel safe enough to have that conversation with that person, you know, I'm sorry, this isn't going well, or I love you. We're at different places in our lives. You know, I had a friend that we had that conversation. We're at different places in our lives. And, you know, if you need me, I'm here for you and your family. But right now, this is, you know, where our friendship just kind of goes in different directions. We're at different seasons in our lives. I love you and support you, and I want the best for you and your family. So we're still friends on Facebook, and I like her thing. She likes mine. I celebrate her kids with her, but we don't talk every day because our lives have just gone into completely different directions. It doesn't have to be me walking away feeling responsible for her.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
I don't take the responsibility for her when I walked away.
What's those boundaries of even what's my part? I think that when I asked that question of the broken friendship in the last year, there was definitely some ownership of like something might be defective in me and I'm the reason this didn't work out, or just some pain of rejection possibly. So talk through that. Like, how could you encourage a gal who it is broken off? Maybe there wasn't a good conversation that happened.
Well, you can't blame yourself for other people's behavior. I can't accept responsibility for someone else's behavior or comments they make or feelings they have. Everybody, just like you, is responsible for their own, how they feel, in response to their feelings, what they say, how they behave. Everyone is responsible for themselves. So I can't take responsibility for someone else's behavior or their speech or their opinions. I can't take responsibility for that. So when I walk away, I do have to examine my own actions and my own behaviors when I walk away. And I do have to learn from that. But I can't walk away holding the whole pot with myself.
Yeah, I think that I think louder for the people in the back is what I'm thinking. Right. This is applying to the kids. This is applying to the everything, work and spouse and everyone. This phrase, you know.
Yes, you know, we really, you know, I love when everyone's getting along. I love relationships when they're working. And I want all of my relationships to be in a healthy space where it's working and everyone's supporting and loving on each other. But that can't be my goal for everyone. Everyone has, you know, their responsibility of the goal, what their goals are in their relationship with you. So I can't assume responsibility for everyone's goal in this relationship. So I can have the best intentions and I can do the best I can. And they may not respond in a manner, in the manner that I intended for them to respond. And, but I can't assume responsibility for someone's reaction or their behavior in relationship. I have to let them be themselves.
So when that inkling comes up where we want to blame ourselves or change their response, what is simply telling ourselves that phrase helpful? Like, what's something we could remind ourselves of in that moment?
You can remind yourself that you are not responsible for their behavior. You're not responsible for their thoughts. We can't do that. I think part of our responsibility is to make sure we're not behaving in a way in order for them to respond in a way. We have to be authentic in our responses and our behaviors and friendships, and we're not trying to manipulate them into responding in a way that would favor us or trying to manipulate them into a certain thought or a certain behavior pattern that feels comfortable for us. So we have to question if we're desiring them to be themselves, or are we desiring them only to be in relationship the way we want them to be in relationship?
That's big right there. That's real big. If this friendship ends, we can't even control their response and how they maybe spread rumors
exactly.
or talk about us. But we can be responsible for our part and how much we talk to other people about it.
Exactly. It's our responsibility. Our behavior is our responsibility.
So a couple of the people that reached out in DMs mentioned that it's not just a friendship, it's a friend who's also family. How do we navigate that? Because it can't be this moving on in the same way. Although I know, you know, you watch enough movies and you've got those stories of, I haven't talked to my dad or I haven't talked to my sister in 8 years kind of thing. People do it.
Right.
I mean, how do we navigate that when it's friend, family?
Man, it's so tough because there's so many other relationships involved. And sometimes you really need to, if you can, sit with that person and really try to have a one-on-one if you can. If you cannot have a one-on-one and it's kind of beyond the scope of sitting down, you have to make your decisions based on the health of the family. So unless it's a toxic relationship or abusive relationship, then, you know, there has to be conversations about how can we have relationships in the whole without having confrontations with this one particular individual. That's the because you have to keep yourself safe emotionally and physically if that relationship is toxic or abusive. If this relationship is a disagreement and it's been going on for forever, there are ways that you can communicate with family and be in the same space without requiring everyone to come to your agreements or requiring the people around you just to not like them because you are in conflict with them. You can share a space where you can, there's mutual respect, but there doesn't have to be conversation. It doesn't have to be, you know, we're buddies now or any kind of interactions that aren't genuine.
What are some of those ways you can talk to them in that space?
In that space, you can just say, how are you doing? Or how are things going with you and your family? And that's it. You don't really have to have a long conversation. Are you okay? How are the kids? It's great seeing you. Or, okay, well, that's it. And you kind of, you know, talk among them. And it sounds funny, but it is funny, especially when it's happening, but it's okay. It doesn't have to be a conflict every time you enter a person's space that maybe you don't share the same ideas or you don't share the same views. It's okay. You can be in that space and be cordial and be okay. Doesn't have to bring, you don't have to bring conflict with you every time you in the same space as that person.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Okay, a question just came to my mind, and this is really complicated, Chandria. But I did see another statistic where millennials are kind of a setting boundaries or kind of quote unquote canceling their parents based on differences related to even within the church and how we respond to current cultural shifts and possibly even, you know, accusing parents of being narcissistic or having other strong behavioral issues and setting that boundary and kind of not talking to their parents, but the parents not quite understanding why this is happening. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, so the millennials, like, you have hurt me here. We disagree here. I'm setting up a boundary. I'm seeing a counselor and they're telling me you're not healthy. You're toxic for me. And then the parent does not have any grasp that they don't understand that.
That's tough because
it's tough, but I think it's like not a one-off thing. I think it's kind of a trend right now.
It's a trend, but there's so many other aspects of that relationship that had to have been toxic before you even get to the place of, I'm just not talking to you anymore. So that's one. There's so many other issues that maybe they're not speaking about, but there's so many other things once you get to the place, I'm not talking to you. But if they're at that place, I think the best thing, you know, parents, kids need to even go to the counselors together just to kind of see, you know,
Have an objective voice.
Somebody that's not biased, someone who can hear both people and translate to the other person what they're hearing. But we do have a generation of kids or millennials, and then even what is it, Gen Z's right behind them.
Yeah,
that are really are growing in this space where you have to agree with me.
Mm.
You have to agree with me, or if not, then something's wrong with you. And yeah, I do have to get rid of you. But having someone in a space where you can go and you can sit down with parents and you can have an open and honest conversation about what that means, especially if the parents saying, I don't understand. That's different if parents are saying, I disagree. I don't want to be with you either. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have those, but having a space where they can go to, where they can sit down and have a conversation, not just with themselves, because the toxicity of how they communicate, the blind spots, the habits in which they, you know, talk to each other or emotional habits that they have. You can't do that without someone else there to mediate. Yeah, but that's hard because that does happen often. But as heated as it gets, many times it's not forever.
Well, and it does seem that there's a little bit of a discrepancy between maybe the baby boomer generation and their awareness of kind of the lingo, the counseling lingo and the feelings, and there's less awareness than possibly in the millennial generation. And so that kind of difference, I think, causes part of the division.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It definitely, you know, even going to a counselor.
Right. 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 There's such know. A, yeah, it's not something you do, right? Unless you're in a really bad place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or unless you have a psychological diagnosis, you know, a psychiatric diagnosis that most baby boomers don't even think about talking to a counselor. So to invite someone else in that space to mediate is foreign to them. Yeah.
Yeah. It had such a negative connotation for so long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even in the church, especially.
Oh yeah. In the church. Yes. And even, you know, in certain communities, I know in my community, the African-American community, you don't go to people for your problems. You pray. Yeah. You don't, you know, you don't do that. You lay it all out before Jesus and listen for him. You don't go and have someone invite someone else in your space.
So for that community, when you're counseling, do you first have to overcome that barrier?
I do. I have to provide a safe space that they understand, just explain what I do. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a licensed counselor. So we'll just talk and get them to a space where they feel comfortable. It's not judgment. This is not me judging what you're saying to me. This is me trying to get to a place of reconciliation with you and your family. That's it.
Let's help the gal who she's done the steps, she's worked her way, the relationship has ended, she is not taking ownership, but she's very hesitant to trust again. She's very hesitant to go deep into a friendship again because of possibly the pain of the past. Even though she's not responsible, she's a little hesitant, or her heart is hurting. What help do you have for her?
Well, you know, I always think that going to a counselor is the best way. You need someone that's not in your space to kind of, that's standing on the outside, that can kind of see where you are and talk to you about those hurt feelings. But having someone that you can, you know, kind of vent to and to give you some good feedback about your pain. That's one. Two, if that's not an option, if that's not something you're ready to do, understand that that relationship or that pain that you're experiencing cannot be used as a filter or as a guide walking into other relationships. You can't use that feeling that you're having to measure other people in other relationships. You walk in at a disadvantage if you come with the pain and you're using that to guide you or maneuver in these other relationships that you're having.
So you're already prejudging every, or protecting. You're not really sharing.
You're not being your authentic self. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're not walking in saying, I'm ready to be friendly, I'm ready to establish this relationship. You're coming in with things in your hand that you won't be able to meet them where they are, because you're still battling with things that you came in the relationship with. So if something happens with that other person, they're at a disadvantage because you've already made the decision about what it was because of the pain that you brought into that relationship.
You're misinterpreting actions. You're taking blame where there's no blame or responsibility again. That is really good advice. Oh, man. Have you walked through this with friends, Shundria, personally?
Yes. I have. Yes, I have. You know, I have, like I mentioned earlier, I have a friend that I just knew we were going to walk through this life from, you know, the rest of our lives. We were just going to be friends for forever. And just the direction of my life and direction of her life. And there are some tendencies that she has in her had in her communication that I didn't enjoy. So when we would have conflict, I was often very reserved because I was hesitant about her response. So because I knew the kind of person she was, I saw her in other relationships. And so, I was very hurt by some things that were done. However, we did sit down and have that. We had a conversation. We met. It took maybe a year. Sometimes when you have these relationships and they end, it's not something that you can go back the next week and say, okay, we need to talk. Sometimes there's time and space that can happen.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk for almost a year. And then we met for lunch and had a conversation and agreed that the friendship was over. It was done. And we agreed that we would celebrate our kids. And because, you know, we were raising kids in the same, we were in the same, some of the same things, that we would celebrate them and we would celebrate each other's accomplishments. But as far as ongoing talking on the phone and hanging out and lunches and traveling and things that we were doing together, we don't do anymore. It hurt. It was hurtful. I had to grieve that relationship. I had to grieve my expectations that the plans that I thought we would have together and things that I thought we would do together. I had to grieve all that. And that was hard and that was sad, but it was for the best. So sometimes you walk away, you don't have these great feelings. You don't, you know, okay, great. We're going to, you know, it's fine. Sometimes you walk away and it's sad and you grieve it and you miss it, but it's grief, you know, and you have to walk through that and you heal. But it's still not a place in your life where you say, oh my gosh, that's great. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that happened, but I'm thankful that you are able to move from there. And I'm sure you have other friendships that have filled in that space.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I have great friends. Great friends. Yeah. And, you know, walking away from that taught me a lot about myself. I didn't just look at her. It taught a lot about how I act in friendships, what my expectations are.
Okay.
You know, it taught me a lot about me. So I just didn't look at her and say, oh my gosh, I can't be friends with her. I had to really look at how I maneuvered in that relationship as well and what hurt her. She had hurts as well. So I had to walk away with the responsibility of making sure in my other relationships that I showed up in manners that people felt safe and they felt that they, the same way I wanted to feel in a relationship, that I provided that space where other people can feel safe and loved and cared for as well. So I had work to do as well.
That's good. That's really good. We're all learning and growing. And
yes, we are.
And I feel like a lot of this brokenness in the last year too, is us just, none of us being in our best versions. So even if it's this long-term friendship you've had and all of a sudden you're like, what has shifted? What has gone wrong? Well, neither of you, you're probably both in a stressed out grief state. And if you don't have a healthy place to process that, it's going to come out sideways and anger and judging and critical. And I mean, just feel like that possibility is, it's just ripe, like a soup, like
yes.
Ready. And
oh
so
gosh.
Grace for our friendships too, that if things are different, giving that space, like you said, maybe some time getting yourself to a healthy place, you know?
Yes. And just trying to figure out, who are you listening to? Are we maneuvering like the Lord wants us to maneuver in our relationships? We have to ask ourselves those questions, because we are listening to way too many voices.
That's good.
Way too many voices. And we really have to sit still and figure out who and what are you listening to? What's your reference point and what are your expectations in those relationships? Because we have a lot of voices coming at us all day. And we have to really filter through that and say, hey, what does God's word say about this? Where do I stand in God's word on this issue or this friendship? And am I maneuvering the way the Lord wants me to maneuver in this relationship? that has to be the first place to go, because a lot of other voices just want you to agree with them. And a lot of time it gets so convoluted that it is stressful and hurtful.
Yeah. That is very good advice. Very good advice. I am so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for you coming on today, and just your
Thank
voice
you.
Is just this calm, comforting, pointing us to truth. Where can people connect with you online? We'll put it in the show notes, but I want you to share with them here.
I have a website, ShondriaRiddick.com, and I'm at Shondria Riddick on all social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm not on TikTok. You will not be able to find me. I will not. Or maybe I would, to embarrass my kids. That may be a good idea. But
this is it. Yes.
No TikToks yet.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. And you have a group that you lead every Wednesday. Tell everyone a little bit about that.
Twice a month, I have relaxed groups.
Okay.
And relaxed groups are a space where women come and we just talk about whatever topic. Last Wednesday, we talked about triggers. and how we're triggered, and how certain situations may trigger certain emotions, or relationships may trigger us. So we talked about that, and that was great and fun. It's just a really good space where you can come and connect, and you may not want to go to counseling or feel like counseling is a thing. So I have a lot of women who are not really, you know, I don't really need counseling, but I do need a space to come and just kind of talk through some things and hear from other women. So it's great. We have a lot. It's really relaxing and fun. And it's all virtual, of course. And we just get together and talk and gab for an hour and a half.
That's amazing.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful. It's well, good. We'll point people there too. And I hope that you and I get to see each other face to face soon.
Yes, soon. Thank you so much. This has been so fun and wonderful. And I really appreciate you allowing me to be here. Really thank you.
It's my honor. My honor to share space with you. Well, thank you so much. And I hope you have a fantastic week.
Thank you. Thank you. You as well.
Thanks, y'all, for joining me. I hope you connect with Shondria with the links we have in the show notes. I'm going to pray over us and our friendships. Lord, I thank you for the relationships you have given us. I pray that you would give us wisdom to set boundaries where needed, to help us navigate, to help us own our part, but also to see who in our lives are supporting and healthy for us and who are not life-giving. I also pray, Lord, that like Shondria said, your voice would be louder, that as so many different inputs are coming at us, that we would lean into your voice in our life, and that you would help guide us so that we don't hurt unintentionally, that we aren't the cause of pain in other people's lives. I pray that you would give us eyes to see our own challenges and places where we need you to come in and heal. I thank you and praise you for all you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks y'all for joining me for Summer Mentorship. Remember, we put discussion questions in the show notes. So if you want to kind of try out podcast clubs this summer, it's a great way to just say, hey, friends, listen to this episode and let's talk about it. This one could be a pretty challenging one to have conversations about, or maybe it's a great way to kind of get to some deeper issues in your friendships. Anywho, those are in the show notes. I hope it is helpful, and I will meet you back here next week. We actually are doing one of our surprise guest sidetrack episodes with me and Cynthia. All right, adios. Bye.